Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for our pastor who faithfully preaches the Word of God to us. God, use him today to help us. Help us see what you have for us out of the Word of God today. Speak to our hearts. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power so we can hear what we need today. And then, Father, help us to do what we hear. Father, if there's one in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, that today they would settle that matter before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
We'll ask you now this morning if you would check and make sure your electronic devices are turned off or turned to some means or manner whereby they won't make any noise. That will be wonderful. Otherwise, if it goes off during the service, you will be clubbed to death and thrown out that door. And so help us there, please, this morning. We'd appreciate that very much today. Also, sit still and listen very carefully. These first Sundays in January, Sunday mornings, been preaching on just one word. The sermon's longer than that, by the way. Just one word that will help us throughout this year. You keep hearing me say it, and I hope you understand I'm not the prophet of doom when I say I'm not quite sure what 2009 will hold. If the economy was strong and everything was financially where it should be in America, and it won't be until America stops robbing God itself. But even if times were good economically, we still don't know what's going to happen in 2009. But I know this. I know that the faith of God's people is going to be tested more this year than in any year I've known in some time. So the first word we talked about on Sunday morning was the word faith. It's not just a word. It's how we're supposed to live our life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The second word we talked to you about is the word blessing. How to know the blessing of God in your life. And I hesitated a bit in this. I did what God wanted me to do, obviously, but I hesitated in talking about blessing. It's a big subject nowadays, very popular, and everyone's going around giving it one, the genie in the lamp kind of blessing. Rub this lamp, say this prayer, do this X, Y, Z, God gives you everything you want kind of blessing. That's ridiculous. However, we must have the blessing of God upon us. We're going to need that this year probably more than in some time. This morning I want to talk to you about another word, and that's the word strength. Strength. Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now the strength of which I'm speaking today has nothing to do with your muscle power. You may be able to do a push-up. Your best push-up may be a push away from the table. I don't know what it is. You may not have enough physical strength to do one push-up. It's not talking about physical strength here. It's not even talking about strength of character. It's not talking about mental strength. It's talking about a supernatural strength. The Bible says very clearly, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now understand, Philippians 4:13 is written from prison. Apostle Paul, 2/3 of the New Testament given through the Apostle Paul, was written in prison. He does not know if he will live or die. And in those prisons in those days, you were fed because someone brought you something to eat. So they didn't have three meals delivered and movies to pick out on Friday night. If someone didn't come to the prison and give you something to eat, you starved to death. They could care less whether you ate or not. On top of that, they were tortured. On top of that, the Apostle Paul's in prison for being a Christian. They killed Christians in those days. So he could have been executed at any time. He has no idea daily, every day, whether he's going to live or die. He has no idea if he's going to be slowly starved to death. He has no idea if he has any hope of life beyond this passage of scriptures that God is giving him in the book of Philippians. And through that, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, that's a spiritual strength he found in his life, and any of God's children can find in their life, that we're going to have this year. I guarantee you that now. Strength for the journey. This process of the Christian life. You did not become a Christian by process. You become a Christian by birth. You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You are born into the family of God. But the moment you trust Christ and you get saved, that starts a process, a journey from salvation till you die or Jesus comes to get you. You need strength for that journey. You need strength for burdens in life. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest he speaks of there in Matthew chapter 11 doesn't mean he takes your burdens away from you. It means he gets in the load with you, gives you a break so you can keep carrying your load. He gives you strength. We're going to need strength this year for the weaknesses that will come to us in our life. Physically sometimes, yes, because of illnesses or battles that we have in our bodies. Sometimes it's just we get weak and we get weary of the everyday toil and struggle of things. We're going to need strength just for the day-to-day life that is ahead of us. You need strength. You're going to need strength for the spiritual battle in which you live. Lester Olof used to sing, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation park. It's a fight, not a game. We are on a spiritual battlefield every day of our life as Christians. And you know something? You fight a battle every day, all day long in your life. You need strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want to talk to you about this strength this morning you need today and that you're going to need. I want to just read the passage to you. To me, it's one of the greatest portions of God's Word. Again, the Apostle Paul, listen, 2 Corinthians 12:7, I'll just read it to you. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He had some physical problem in his life, and he, the man who was used of God to do some miraculous healing in his life, could not be healed. And he asked God 3 times to heal him. In verse 9, and he said unto me, God's answer to Paul's healing prayer was, my grace is sufficient for thee, and here is why. For my strength, God says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, he says, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. That's supernatural strength. Weakened to the place where he would write and say, could someone just bring me a coat to wear? I am so cold. There was times he said, I'm in a place where I don't know if I'm going to live or die, but he said, I found something out. Even with this physical problem I have in my life, I have found that when I am weak, then I'm strong, because God said, in my strength is made perfect. My strength, God says, is made perfect through my weakness. So this strength we're going to talk about today doesn't come from your upbringing. It doesn't come from your character level. It doesn't come from the size of your biceps. It doesn't come from your health. It doesn't come from your financial situation. It comes from Almighty God, ladies and gentlemen. And we better learn how to get that this morning. We better learn how to have the kind of strength it takes to get up every day and do the things we need to do and go when we don't want to go and stay when we don't want to stay and battle when we don't want to battle and struggle when we don't want to struggle and just do what we're supposed to do. Moms and dads need strength this morning. Husbands and wives need strength this morning. God's people need strength this morning. God said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, how do we get this strength? Okay, look at Philippians 4:13. The first word is one letter word, and it's the word I. Say, okay, well, that's where it all starts, Pastor Johnson. It starts with me, doesn't it? You know what it does? In reality, now listen, Cap, it doesn't start with you and your abilities. It doesn't start with you and your character. It doesn't start with you and your personal strength. I'm sick and tired of people who keep listening to Oprah and listening to these self-help gurus who think that everything revolves around you and it's all about your inner strength and your inner person and your inner this and your inner that. When he said, I can do all things through Christ, he didn't make that statement based on what he was. He made the statement based on what he wasn't. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He said, I found out God gave me an affliction in my body to humble me, and then persecutions on top of that, and distress on top of that, and trouble on top of that to break me down so I could look up to God and say, I need God is what I need. I can do all things through Christ, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't mean it's all about you, but it does start with you. Do you need His strength today? Have you gotten to the place? Why is it God has to break us down and stomp on us, rip the rug out from underneath our feet, slaughter things in our lives, take things away from us for us to say, you know, I really need God in my life? Why do we have to do that? Why can't we come to God and say, dear God, I have some abilities, I have some things, but frankly, I need you today. Strength comes when you go to God and say, God, I can't do it on my own. I need you. By the way, you do that when you're healthy. You do that when you have strength. You do that when you have $1.298 in your pocket. You do that while you have a job. You do that while you have your health. You do that while God is good to you in your life. You do that while the sun shines. You do that while you're on the mountaintop. You do that. That's when you go to God and say, God, I have all these goodnesses in my life, but Lord, I can't do it without you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It starts with God, ladies and gentlemen. The United States of America is beginning once again. And it's the sad thing about what's happening in our country today. Now we're going to have to learn the same lesson all over again. You shake your fist in the face of God, friend. I don't care how mighty your economy and how mighty your banking system and how mighty your dollar and how mighty you think you are. God will reach down and shake that nation to get them to look up to God and say, we've got to have God's help in this thing. But what about us in our life? What is America? America is not just an institution. America is the 300 some odd million people who live on this great country that God has given us. America is that way today where we think we don't need God because Americans think they don't need God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That means I can't do it without Him. There's no way. I can do all things. It starts with you. It starts with a realization that I need Him. I don't have the strength to make it. Paul had to learn this, and I think that's why he had the thorn in the flesh and why he had all the things that came to him in his life. It was God saying, if I don't do something to this guy, he's going to get arrogant and he's going to get proud and he's going to think he can handle it. And if you're here this morning and you think you've got it all under control and you're handling it and everything's going to be fine and nobody can get to you and you can deal with it and no matter what comes down the pipe, it's all right because I know what I can do with my life, then my dear friend, get ready for a rough and rocky road from here out. Don't make God pull the rug out from underneath you to get you to look up and say, okay, I get it now. And it does start with I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The next part of that statement is very important to getting the strength you need. I can do all things. That's a statement of faith. That's not arrogance. I can do it. I can handle it. It's about, no. It's a statement of faith. That's why the first message in this January lesson messages was about faith. Faith is dependence upon God. Faith is trust in God. Faith is action upon what the Bible tells me to do. Trusting what the Bible says and doing what the Bible tells me to do. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It speaks of strength that comes from faith. Look here. It means this, friend. I'm sorry, but it eliminates all the whining and the excuses. Well, I can't do this, and I can't do that. I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. Without Jesus Christ, you can't. You good luck, friend, because that's what you need. You're going to need good luck if you leave God out of the equation. I'll get there in a moment. Just stay with me on this thing. But when he said, I can do all things, he's simply saying, I believe by the faith of God and faith in God and dependence on God and strength through Christ, I can do what I need to do. Now, that means this. So then we can do what we need to do this year. Yes, we can. I don't understand the concept. I'm going through hard times in my life, so I stay home from church. That doesn't make sense to me. That's like saying you're too sick to go to the hospital. It doesn't make any sense to me. How is it we say we have faith and then we allow circumstances to paralyze what we're supposed to do? This guy's in prison still saying, I can still do what God wants me to do. Yes, we can. It's not optimism that's pumped up through a hopeful condition resulting in watching the graph chart that comes out of the Wall Street or the financial markets. It's not some hopeful thing that comes up with, you just believe you can do anything. No, you can't. You can't put your head through that wall. I don't care how hard you believe it. It's not going through. The truth of the matter is it's a confidence in God that says, I can still, but if God be my God and help me in what I do, I most certainly can too do what I'm supposed to do. You can stay married. You can raise your kids. You can go to work. You can do what you're supposed to do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But you see, if you leave the through Christ out, you've messed up everything. And it's not trying to, you know, boy, Pastor Johnson, I mean, America's out there. We're just trying to keep hope alive. We're just trying to find some kind of confidence in somebody or something. Yeah, that's our problem. We're looking, look at me. We're looking right here on this horizontal plane. Huh? We just elected somebody in office because he's a good public speaker. Because the guy gave people hope by what he said. There are people at these rallies that he spoke. They wept and cried like their life was transformed by his speech given by a man. We go to church and sit there and fall asleep on a Sunday morning. Can't wait till we get home, watch football games, and wonder why God can't come in our lives. Because we've lost a can-do God principle. Strength comes from my belief that there is a God in heaven that is bigger than anything that I need, bigger than anything that I face, and I can with God's help. But with God's help. So he didn't say, through Christ I can do all things because he strengthens me. He said, I can do all things through Christ. It wasn't self-help stuff. It was a man sitting in a prison not knowing whether he would live or die saying, but you know what? I can still do what I'm supposed to do. And yes, you can too. My friend, look at me. Stop letting the circumstances and conditions of your life become the excuse and reason why you don't get done what you're supposed to do that God tells you to do. That's wrong. That shows a lack of faith. That shows we really don't have a God any bigger than the Hindu's God, any bigger than the Muslim God, any bigger than the heathen's God. We have no God bigger than that if our circumstances just paralyze us in our lives. That's not right. And you know what? There's a great lack of strength in our life. Because we got to, well, I can't do that now, and I can't do this anymore. Now what am I going to do? Oh, man, you got any cheese with that wine? It's terrible. It's like you want to break out the violin and get the background music going. I can't do this. No, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. You don't understand, Pastor Johnson. No, I understand. Oh, I understand it all. You feel like that man sometimes who one day woke up and his wife woke him up on a Sunday morning and said, honey, you need to go to church today. He said, I'm not going. She said, but you need to go. He goes, I'm not going. Those people down there don't like me. I don't think they're very friendly to me, and I'm not going to church today. She said, but babe, you've got to go to church. You've got to go to church this morning. He goes, I don't want to go to church down there anymore. I don't think they even care if I didn't show up anymore. She said, yes, they would, because you're the pastor. Nobody I know jumping out of bed in the morning. Rejoice. If you do, you're pulling muscles. Jumping out of bed in the morning, just throw their hands up in the air and say, oh, hallelujah, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we can do what God told us to do. And there is a strengthening that comes with, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now then, step to strength number three comes through that statement, through Christ. So you leave those two words out, friend, you're in trouble now. You've got nothing but possibility, probability, thinking. That's all you have. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, how do I get strength through Christ there then? First of all, you get it through his word. Now, I'm just going to read the scripture to you again this morning, if I may, just for time's sake. Psalm 119 and verse number 28. Listen to this verse. It says this, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Look at me. There's just something about just reading the Bible that gives strength. I read the Bible all the time. I get to that. No. I'm not talking about looking at black ink on white paper. And you know, you're going through here going, okay, now where's the verse that says I get everything I want? Where's that one now? Not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as men. We don't want that verse. Okay, hold a second. I'm going to find one. It's right in here. I know it is. Get right with God. Oop, no one to read that verse either. Wait a minute. We're going through here looking for all the blab and grab it promises in the Bible. How about just start in the front and read to the back? How about that one? How about just take it like it is, friend? But just, I mean, there's something about just reading the Bible. He said he would strengthen us through his word, Psalm 119, verse 28. There is strength in the word of God. Read it, believe it, trust it, hear it, listen to it, memorize it, quote it, live it. That's through Christ. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm not getting any strength. Can I ask you a question? What's your relationship with the Word of God today? Look here, folks, look at me. That's not a piece of furniture. That's not a book that's supposed to sit on the little coffee table with that little thing. I got the hippie Jesus on the front. That's not what that's about. That's not furniture. This is the living book. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's something powerful about this book. It gives strength through his word. He would give us strength. God's people, get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Every time the doors are open to church, go to church. Get the Bible. Get the Bible. Get the Bible. Some of you folks, your life would be changed. You just back your schedule up 1 hour and go to Sunday school. Sunday school is a teaching time here in this church. You'd be amazed what you could learn and grow in just by going to a Sunday school hour in this church. 10 o'clock. We have adult Sunday school class over here for young married couples in this hallway, home builders class. We have a senior class over here for folks who are 60 and up and are willing to admit it. They're in that room over there. In this class here, I teach a pastor's class. For everybody that's too old to be in there and too young to be over there, we fit in here. And we got classes and we got children's classes. And why do we want our kids to know about God and Jesus and we don't bring them to Sunday school? I don't understand that. How are they going to learn? You teach them at home. Sunday school is not the substitute for you teaching your children the Bible. But it sure strengthens that thing. Look, folks, look at me. It's amazing what the strength of the Word of God brings to us. That's through Christ. The living Word of God is Jesus Christ. The written Word of God is the Bible. They are a partner that you must have in your life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now listen to this one. There's another way you get this thing through Christ. The Bible says this. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. There is strength. God imparts strength when we take the way God has for us to go. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, you don't seem to understand. See, if I do everything you're preaching up there and telling me about, if I do all that stuff, that's going to totally mess up my life. You know what? Some of us need some life messing. Like one guy said one Sunday, I quit going to your church because I think you're trying to brainwash me. And I told him, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right, sir. And if I had a saw, I'd cut your skull out, put your brain out and scrub it real good and shove it right back in there because it needs it, just like mine does and everybody else does. That's right. We're trying to brainwash you, trying to brainwash you to believe what the Bible says. What's wrong with that? The world's working you over all week long. You can't go buy a cotton picking loaf of bread. And that's not even a brand. I don't know where I got the name. You can't go buy a cotton picking loaf of bread without the world teaching you that somebody's Elvis alien Nazi baby was born somewhere. They're teaching you something all the time. Now, why don't you see that as brainwashing? We go to church 3 or 4 hours a week out of 7 days. But in that 3 or 4 hours, we can do a heap of, this is what the Bible says. This is the way of the Lord. Walk ye in it. But you know something, friend? When you get in the way God has for you, there's strength in that way. There's something about me responding in obedience to what the Bible tells me that imparts strength to me. See, we're sitting around waiting for the strength to do what God says. God says, you get in the way you're supposed to go, and I'll strengthen you on the way. The Word of God. The way of God. And the Bible also tells us we get strength from the work of God in our lives. It's in Ephesians chapter 3 and 16. Let me read it again to you, if I may, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, listen, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's why, look at me, that's why sometimes, you know, when you go to church and you sit and you listen, you walk out and you just feel like, you know, God help me today. Because the Word of God, preached about the Son of God, telling you about the way of God, results in the work of God in your heart, and that imparts strength to you. But look here, if you leave your Christianity in this building and you get up and go home and go back and live like the world, there's no strength in that. It's like a person who eats everything they want to, anything they want to, anytime they want to, any way they want to, and then goes to a gym and works out. That's what I do. So what kind of diet is that? It's called a fun diet. That's what that's called. No, but the truth of the matter is you're wasting your time. You're sending your body unbelievably bad mixed signals. Because you put the wrong food in it and then expect to burn it all off in a gymnasium somewhere. It doesn't work like that. The truth of the matter is, friend, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, if you're a child of God this morning, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And he desires to work on your heart and life to make you like Jesus. Now, that's a work. That's not one of these gentle little massage things where he just sort of pats you on the popo and sends you. No, no, it's a work. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, the Bible says, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And the conforming expression there is that of a potter and clay. How that potter takes that clay and he works that clay and he molds that clay and he shapes that clay to make it into a vessel fit for the master's use. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. But the work of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, strengthens us in the inner man. It gives strength to us when the Spirit of God's working on us. My friend Brother Robinson here Wednesday night said you ought to go to the altar and pray for two reasons. Number one, because God worked on your heart. And number two, because God didn't work on your heart. And what in the world did I miss? I don't want to read the Bible and not got to do something in my life because I read the Bible. I want to go to church and listen to preaching, just listen to it and go, I put my time in, now I get up and go home. No wonder that we're not getting the strength that we need. The work of God in our life imparts strength to us. So this morning, what we need first of all and foremost is salvation. Without salvation, no indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Without salvation, you don't have the way of God in front of you except to be saved. Without salvation, this book is just a book. It is spiritually known and spiritually discerned. But with salvation, God can begin to work on your heart and life. And when he does, he will impart strength to you. Look here, we've got 80, 90-year-old people in this church who are absolutely spiritual giants when it comes to strength. Unbelievable. A lot of churches today are discounting the elderly. They don't want older people in their church because, you know, it looks like you got a bunch of old people in your church. First of all, what in the world is wrong with that? Secondly, what in the world has happened to churches who don't want any and everybody to come to their church? I don't care what age they are. Because you see, the older folks in our church, ladies and gentlemen, they are the ones who have the strength. They have learned to walk with God, get from God the strength they need to get up and do what they need to do. They are the giants. We need them. Young people, you need to get around them and learn some things about their life and from their life that would they'll just teach you about a God who's helped them, sustain them through all the things that they did. I always think about my grandmother. She's been in heaven now many years. She was a spiritual giant in my life. She lived through the Depression, World War II, the 60s, and me. And was able to handle all that with a strength, just an unbelievable strength. Because she learned I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Now, we'll run out. Friend, your character, you'll get beyond the strength of your character. I guarantee you that. You'll get beyond the strength of your physical ability. You'll get beyond the strength of your mental ability to figure it all out. You'll get past all of that. And then the strength of God better be there to kick in and carry you through. And we better have an idea, an attitude in our lives that's not arrogant, it's not boastful, and it's not proud. But it says, Philippians 4:13, like we understand it, we know it, we believe it, and we mean it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed.